This is our second class in the series of Becoming Telepathic Beyond Verbal Communication. At least this week I'll get the title right. And how do we do this week? Any thoughts on what we discussed last week?
I'm kind of interested to understand more about the cities that you made reference to when I listened to that recording again.
Who is this?
This is Tracy.
Oh, Tracy. Okay. Just say your name before we speak, because I don't know who, I don't see your name on my computer. Okay.
Okay.
What interests you in that? Because Tracy, you are just, that was the perfect question for my, what I want to teach them.
Well, I've heard someone else reference it before, and but it's sort of like, are they stages along the journey, something like that? And they seem to represent some form of progression, maybe.
Right.
I don't know.
That's what a common perception is. And this document that I don't have up for you yet, because somehow I ended up with the busiest week of my life last week. Actually, I start explaining that, and I do want to talk about that tonight. So we will. And it's a very good question, because it's something that really needs to be cleared up. Okay. Any other comments or thoughts, questions? Anyone spend any time sensing like what it would like to be totally transparent all the time?
Well, this is Sally.
Uh-huh.
I felt like I wanted to confess everything before anybody saw it. It's like, enter if you dare to my crazy world. But and then I watched the video, and I found that, we'll probably talk about it later, but I found that to be a little upsetting. It felt very cold and calculated and mind-ish, and I really I sat and I thought through it for a couple of days of, do I want to be involved in something like that? And I came back around to where, you know, to be staying and connected in heart space is the place you have to come from with this sort of thing. And I guess it would happen if it happens, but it's like, I don't want it to become a goal of mine, and I don't want it to go into a dark place.
Oh, that is a perfect teaching, Sally. Perfect teaching. Really. And we will go into this too. How about someone else? Since we're practicing being clear and honest, anything else coming up for you? Like what would motivate you to want to become that, to have all the information in the world available to you? There's no one here that wants to win the lottery.
This is Becky. I was so grateful for the compassion teaching, because when you first asked the question, there was such a vulnerability. Like, I just felt so vulnerable when, you know, if I was going to be, if the world was telepathic right now. Last week, it was just this like chokehold. I couldn't even talk about it because there was such a vulnerable space in that, like being seen. And so as I sat with the meditation over the week, there's been this deepening of just having that compassion and then that choice. Like, I was so grateful for that too. Like, we have a fork in the road and we can choose. And so I feel like today there's, there's less of a fear around the vulnerability or uncomfortableness around the vulnerability. There's more of a, okay, we can do this. And I so appreciate what everybody shared last week of like, I have some cleaning up of my act, but like, isn't that it, our spiritual maturity? So I've been kind of playing with that a little bit this week. Now, and I did get the chance to watch the video before the class even started. And it was neat to have that, like, right. The video seemed to help bring the information to a place of anybody can do this. Now being able to step into a space of like, I can do this with my heart. And that felt really, really potent and just freeing.
Mm-hmm. I love this class. the teachings are just coming through so beautifully from our circle to each person. So let's talk a little bit more about this, because let's say, for instance, when I first started out as a healer, medical intuitive, a lot of people that came to me came looking for information that would be considered psychic. And that's not how my medical intuitive ability came about. It didn't come about because I was psychic. It came about because of my spiritual practice. And I had a very difficult time at the beginning, trying to explain to people that I was really interested in bringing us to a place of communion in the light and in our hearts so that a more complete healing could occur, which meant that it was impacting us from the soul level outward rather than from the surface level only. And I remember finally discerning the sense that if people were coming to me because they were just flaccid, non-participatory, they wanted something to be done to them, whether it was healed or if I wasn't doing hands-on stuff, but if I was, it would have been someone who lays down on the table and just says, fix me. And I had to start explaining to people who would call me for appointments and saying, you know, this is a collaborative experience where you need to be engaged in the healing experience and what we do together. And 30 years ago, more than 30 years ago, this was kind of a hard thing to explain to people. It had been really difficult for me to verbalize myself. And I would readily refer people out to someone where they could go lie down on a table and or go to a psychic that would give them that information, and that what I was interested in was really so much deeper in terms of healing, but there weren't any words for it. I mean, it was where the planetary consciousness was at the time. It was still at the time where psychic development was on one hand very cool and on one hand very cuckoo and woo-woo and judged very critically. But there was a difference, and you can still see that in my classes, I'm still at that same level of consciousness where people in the classes need to be participants in the classes and not just sitting there being passive students. And so this has been part of my path to work with this. And it's not a common way of working with people individually, and it's not a common way of working classes either, still, I don't think. I don't know, does anyone know any different than I do? I don't see that requirement for the participation, the engagement. Do you? I mean, I'm really asking that as a question, if people see much of that around. And this is going to lead into these questions and comments. So there was no response to that, right? I mean, I'm not hearing anyone.
I don't know.
I don't have any frame of reference.
This is Lisa. I do some, right, ever since Zoom and the whole COVID thing, I do a lot of online Zoom teaching, and it is required that it's participatory, but it's movement based.
Right.
So it's a different sort of thing. So I just wanted to make sure that I responded, because I do think there are times when participation is needed, but it's a slightly different modality.
Oh, for you, yeah. If you're teaching someone to do a type of exercise and they just sit there.
So, right.
Not quite the same.
Right. Would you inhale, please? Thank you.
Sure, this is Cindy. I do want to contribute. I see for my kids, one's in fifth grade, one's in 10th grade, there's been, I see them being engaged in a lot of group projects where they're given opportunities to sort of discover things for themselves, this sort of exploratory. It's not all the time, but there are moments where they, to learn the material, they have to engage with what's going on. And often in a group setting.
Right, but that's still not the same as what we're talking about here. We're talking about people having to own their own experience, be responsible for their experience, and not being passive in terms of wanting to grow, but wanting someone else to do it for them on a spiritual level.
Sure. Oh, Sarah, this is Jamie. Doesn't that kind of sound like AA when you're describing it?
There's probably a participatory part of AAS, but this is still beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Marianne here. Sarah, would that be the fact that you have required us to come as clean and clear and grounded, preparing for a class? Would that be one of the comments to be made? Because
it's part of the criteria for being able to receive
what's
happening. It's a criteria. If you want to be able to receive the information be included in this sacred circle and the effect that it can have on you. So AA, Jamie, to address you, I think the steps of AA help you get out of being a victim and owning your own stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's not a communion experience in a way where we work together in this light. And so whether I'm working with someone individually or in a group, there's an extra dimension that comes in that has to do with the level of consciousness we can access.
Sure, of course.
Okay. But these are all good comments, because this is fleshing this out. Yeah.
This is Sarah and Carla. Oh.
Sorry.
You want me to go ahead, Carla?
Go ahead, please.
Okay. I don't have a personal experience in terms of another frame of reference for classes, but what I do observe in some people I know who are I would say deeply spiritual, who will share things about their path is, and I sort of wonder at, I mean, not in awe, I mean, I'm just sort of amazed, and that is, I sense that their experience, without them realizing, is one of not, is not empowering for them. It's as though they are, there's something in their relationship with the person or people they study with that is looking to that person for answers, as opposed to recognizing and being trained that those are within.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Carla?
I was just going to state that we've been having some craniosacral settling sessions on Zoom, I guess it is. And we try to do real similar thing that what you're trying to do, where we all sink together into the tides, and it's very similar. And we're all expected to do it for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it is participatory, but that's all we're doing at the moment. You know, it's not like we're trying to do sessions because we really can't. But the settling has been a really nice experience lately.
Yes. I would agree with that. That's a similar approach. But the reason we're discussing this is because we're trying to discern between the difference between being telepathic for psychic information versus a deepening of consciousness. So Lisa and Sally, with your comments, there is no requirement on any spiritual path to develop any psychic abilities. And we mentioned this last week. That is absolutely not part of the curriculum for the spiritual development. The spiritual development is all in the heart. And I know people who are so beautifully centered in the heart that they don't even know that they have healing abilities. They don't care. They're not thinking about it. But the way they are centered in their hearts, the healing is just in their atmosphere. And so why would anyone seek out the development of their extra fine senses? So if they come as a byproduct of your spiritual growth, they are a byproduct, Lisa. And there are certain circumstances where, let's say karmically or through some kind of dispensation from a teacher or a guru, there are certain senses that are awakened in a student that have bigger karmic implications than I can see or someone might be able to see. But it's not because they need to do that for their spiritual development. There's a multidimensional aspect to our being. Well, our beings are multidimensional, let's put it that way. And as we grow into quantum consciousness, where the understanding and the realization of our unity consciousness begins to surface and emerge on a planetary level, we're going to be dealing with the side effects of the abuse and use of these sixth sense abilities. Now, I put the Russell Targ interview up there on purpose. I like Russell Targ. If you read any of his books, he really takes remote viewing into a very spiritual arena. Mm-hmm. But one of the big lessons of my life happened to be with the Stanford Research Institute. And it taught me something very, very important. So I was in my mid-20s, and I was spending a summer in San Francisco studying with some Sufi teachers there. And I went camping with a man that I was dating at the time. And we went camping in Big Sur, and we were in a beautiful, beautiful forest, and just had a very nice time being secluded out in the woods. And we woke up the next morning, and unbeknownst to me, I didn't know he had some kind of a, you could call it mental illness issue, but he went into a psychotic break and turned into an Indian and spoke. He was speaking in a language I didn't understand until he said, "Your world is that way, my world is this way," and he left. He disappeared into the woods and left me there. And just so there's no suspense, he did appear back in San Francisco a couple days later. Apparently everyone else knew he had this issue. I didn't. So there I was, and I had to gather up all our equipment and hike out to the highway, which was quite a while ways away, because I didn't have the car or anything like that. And I actually had to hitchhike back to San Francisco. And so this van stops to pick me up, and I wasn't even on a main road. I was on a side road even, because I had not even gotten out to Highway 1. And this van stops, and this man asked me if I needed a ride, and I did. And it's not like there were cars coming by there, like zooming by. It was like one car every half hour. And so I got in. His whole van was filled with lettuce. He was coming from a farm and bringing lettuce back to the food co-op in San Francisco. And we started talking. He was had been a photographer, and I was a photographer. We both studied with Ansel Adams, and all of a sudden we had all this nice stuff in common. And then I was just quiet for a little while. He was quiet for a little while. And then I noticed that we were continuing our conversation without speaking. He was in my head. And this was the first time I had consciously actually engaged in this. And so we continued this very friendly conversation without speaking out loud. He stopped, and we went to lunch at Nepenthe, which is this nice restaurant overlooking the ocean. Treated me to lunch. And then drove back to San Francisco, and actually we stopped in at the Stanford Psychic Research Institute where he worked. And so all along the way, I'm hearing about what he does, and we never said another word out loud for a couple hours. Now, it was very friendly. It was very nice. There were no boundaries that were crossed. He was very meticulous in how he was communicating with me. And I think he was just testing at first to see if I was someone that could do that, you know. But his integrity was amazing. He was extremely clear. He was extremely, you could almost say he was it was friendly but formal. You know, there were absolutely no boundaries crossed. And he eventually dropped me off to where I needed to be to get back home. And I apparently left a flannel shirt in his van, because 2 months later, when I was back home in Cleveland, I get a package in the mail and the shirt had been laundered, and somehow he had, I mean, and think about this, this was 1975. Somehow he had found me and my address and mailed that shirt all laundered and folded up to me. But I have to say, it was a, there was no difference for me in the connection, in the feeling of oneness. It wouldn't have mattered if we had had the conversation out loud or not. It was the same conversation we would have had if we had spoken it out loud. And I compared that to the type of telepathic communion I had or had with my Sufi teacher at the time. And I never exchanged information or had a conversation with him. But what our my telepathic connection with him gave me access, taught me about how to get access to deeper spiritual connection. And there's a big difference between those two. Now, I that time with that gentleman was an amazing time for me. I mean, just that day I spent with him was really, really amazing, because it just confirmed that all this was possible. But it also taught me that what's the use of it? If you're just going to have another common, ordinary conversation. If it's just about information, what good is it? If it's not about developing finer sense perception that can take you into the mystery of human consciousness and the heart, what is the purpose of it? Now we can see from the remote viewing skill level that was developed at the Stanford Research Institute that the military was using and still is using remote viewing as a tactical skill, a tactical approach to war. Mm-hmm. And there are some people out there, you know, they call themselves psychic spies, which is really what it is. But it also shows and demonstrates the abilities that the human being has. Oh my God, we are amazing beings. I mean, we are the greatest instrument on the planet. We are the most, we have the most potential, how we were created and what our nervous system can do and our subtle senses can do is phenomenal. But we want to use them towards deeper spiritual realization because they really arise out of the oneness. I mean, it really is a quantum effect of our being. And if we just take the use of the sense perception instead of what is the source of that sense perception, we're missing the whole evolution of the human being. It's detached from its source, just like any mental dissociative exercises. Now, I want you to just stop and take this in. How much of you needs to know what's going on in another person's being? Let's talk about that for a little bit, if we can be completely transparent about that.
Do you mean needs or wants to know in that? I always want to know.
Yeah, well, can you discern between need and want?
I don't know. Because I can't understand. I feel like I need to know why somebody thinks the way they do. So I need to hear why, because it just doesn't make any sense to me. And then when I hear it, I'm like, oh, that makes so much sense. Okay, I get it.
Okay, so I would say that's a need. Like, what if you never ever knew? What if you didn't have access? What if you couldn't dig in there and get them to tell you? What part of you can exist, or how can you exist without having to, let's see, it's hard to verbalize this, but I think you can sense it because it comes out of insecurity.
This is Richard.
Go ahead, Richard.
I find that it's very important to me just to accept the person as they are. If they want to demonstrate a different type of feeling, emotion, or judgment of who I am that upsets me, I can say thank you very much. And I'm confident enough in myself that I don't have to worry about how they view me.
Okay. So what about people who, I want to people to be able to discern that insecurity here. Okay. So go ahead. Who is going to speak next?
This is Ananda. For me, the knowing is what opens the doors of compassion. I might meet someone that I initially sort of pull back from or have judgment and labels on them. But once they unfold their story, it just opens the doors of compassion that you know, the judgment is gone. It enables you to connect with their heart space.
So I'm going to challenge that a little bit. Or we can pull that apart a little bit. So if we're looking at spiritual development, and we're looking a little, let's say, to raise the vibration of the compassion element. My first inclination would be to find the state of compassion within myself so that I don't need to hear their story. It's not for me about connecting at that level. I would prefer for myself to know that I'm in a state of compassion no matter what their story is. So I'm just, we're kind of pulling this apart a bit, Ananda.
Yeah, one of the most amazing interviews I ever saw was Bill Moyer was interviewing this prisoner who had, you know, committed multiple murders. And of course, everyone's reaction, you know, was just totally negative. And as he was interviewing him and interviewing him and interviewing him, the more he got down to this person's story, I mean, I still remember Bill Moyer being shocked at when he got to the place of, wow, I feel your heart. I understand now. I understand your worldview and why you did what you did. It was just an amazing thing to see on film.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's shift this a little bit here. And I understand what you're saying. But we're talking about this finer sense, the telepathic sense. And if we come from a place where we want to have access to someone else's thoughts and feelings through a subtle sense because of a need within ourselves, what is the implication of that? Because here we are, this class is about becoming telepathic. And there are some, just like they can use remote viewing as a war tactic, how would we be using a finer sense, a telepathic ability to satisfy a need instead of raising it to a level of a union experience where we gain access?
It doesn't seem ethical to me.
That's why I asked the question, and it's a serious question about what is the interest.
Sarah. Sorry, this is Jamie again. I'm curious, this is bringing up for me a question that maybe I should have thought about before I signed up for this course, but I'm thinking as an empath, right? And this idea that I do often have access to a lot of this information, maybe not in such a clear, distinct sense that you're talking about, but then what's kind of the difference is the telepathic sense giving a voice to these empathic abilities? I guess I'm just fuzzy on the distinction between the two then.
Yes, that's what it is. Now, it's not that you should end up voicing for someone else what they're feeling. But what it is giving words to the empathic experience you're having so you can shift it from being merged with to decoding the information of it.
Mm-hmm. From me to them, almost.
Well, just so that you understand that this is a way you're receiving information non-verbally. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it really is information. Mm-hmm. But we end up taking it personally. as an empath.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell people are getting all twisted up in their head about this. So it's important to drop back down into your grounding. And this is when we get all up in the head about it, it really gets twisted and unclear. So I think that's the best we can do to have a conversation around this. So go back to your grounding. And resettle into your being. I do think a more transparent conversation would be around the need. What in us would try to manipulate and skew and use telepathic information for our own benefit and not for a mutual spiritual experience? But I want you to see how the conversation kept veering away from that.
Sarah, are you referencing that it would be a power thing? If you would have telepathic information, you can then be valuable to that individual.
No.
Because... Okay.
No.
That's not where we're going at all.
No. Okay. So for some reason, this is not being clear. Let me see if I can state, I'm going to say the same thing over again. It would be very transparent for you to own any desire to want to become telepathic out of any kind of personal need on your own behalf. I want you to look at that. What would be the need?
Well, it would certainly make life easier.
I'm sorry, who said that?
I said it would certainly make life easier.
I'm sorry, who is that? I don't know.
Oh, sorry, this is Jamie. I'm sorry.
Why would it make life easier?
I think for me, I would feel like I could see people's true intentions, true motives, true thoughts and feelings versus what they're trying to project onto me.
Ah, that is looking at it from a deeper place and not necessarily the, you know, just a straight telepathic kind of psychic information gathering. What part of you would want to do that versus the part that would want the psychic information gathering, Jamie? Let's put it in terms you can understand. If you were going to date a guy, and you wanted to know all about him, his intentions, who he was, and everything, how curious and how much would you want to be telepathic so that you could know everything about him? Or would you be looking...
Well, I'm struggling with that. Like,
right.
Hearing you talk about that, it doesn't feel, it feels icky. It takes all the mystery out of everything. I mean, it really does.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And also there is a privacy issue. Like, I don't want to be that exposed to anyone. I can't imagine anyone else would want to be that exposed to anyone.
Ah.
So I don't let, I like, I mean, I don't feel personally like motivated to want to be telepath. Like, I don't know. I'm not feeling like, oh, I want to be telepathic because I want to make a lot of money, you know, so I can understand, game a system or something.
But boy, would it be nice if you started a relationship and it was going great and then all of a sudden it went sideways. Then you'd be better able to realize, oh, that sideways is sideways and I need to leave versus.
But isn't that like the personal growth? Like, aren't you then just removing all aspects of yourself that, like, you're taking all the work out of life then in yeah. some respects.
And all the things like we gain that you a lot. Go through is lessons.
Right. Right,
you
exactly.
You have to communicate. You have to communicate with, you know, in a two-way way. Instead of just reading somebody, you know, it's going too far off into, I don't know what.
And that really requires personal responsibility of one's pain, I guess.
What do you mean by that, of one's pain?
Well, it's very easy to want to not want to expose the pain within. A trigger. It could be a trigger. It's an old trigger. It's cellular memory. It's from childhood. And the first thing when you're triggered, you want to trigger back. You want to, you know, it's so painful deep within. And so if you could psychically, I don't know, psychically hearing people's thoughts, that's a pretty dangerous situation, I guess.
Okay. I think this is a really good conversation now. I think we've opened this up enough to...
But Sarah, I don't quite understand what you're asking.
Well, I said it the same way three different times already. I want people to examine their motives. And I don't believe any of us here are that pure that we would not try to invade someone's telepathic space only for pure motives. Because as we move into this course more and as we work with this, we have to examine ourselves in a very clear, honest way. And I think this is very, very subtle and very, like, a huge unconscious aspect of our consciousness, because this has not been spoken about, cultivated, worked with in proper proportion to the development of our finer senses. So we've got a rat's nest of stuff all involved. In other words, you know, the guides for this class are not having me open up the sacred circle yet. Because we really needed to open this up a bit. Again, it's the same kind of question as last week. What if everything is transparent? And in actuality, it is. We just haven't developed the ability to understand or perceive at that level that we already are perceiving at. And so there is a self-reflect that needs to happen in relationship to any discussion around becoming telepathic and the nonverbal communications that occur.
This is Richard. I have a feeling that there is a lack of trust and fear that right now is coming through to me. And I'll leave it at that.
This is Anne.
This is Gia. Go ahead.
The word that came to my mind for a while now is protection, defenses, but I also think of incoherence and the sense that I have a telepathic sense that is not coherent with what is openly available as information from the person.
Angela, could you say a little bit more about that to just make it a little clearer?
Well, when I'm with a person and what is verbally said or the actions of that person say one thing, but I have a telepathic sense of something else, there is an incoherence in me. And that makes me, you know, makes me more curious on one level, but it also gets my defenses up or my little bit of fear or trust issues and all of that. And so then that's mm-hmm. where I come to the point. Do I want to know more? Do I close myself off? I mean, that is just really a choice point. So I think protection, defense, that's the words that come up for me.
Okay, thank you.
Security, yeah.
This is Dia. When you use the word need or threw it out there, to me, it was synonymous with the word vulnerable or the feeling of being vulnerable. And I thought that you know, the more self-love you have, the less vulnerable you are, and the less need you have to know what other people are thinking, because you're complete unto yourself, and
right.
therefore it doesn't matter. And then, right. then it's just a heart-to-heart communication, and you know when it doesn't feel good anymore. And I guess that's how I'm viewing this.
This is Denise. When we say heart to heart, does that mean that the other person needs to be in that same space too? I feel sometimes that, you know, like I can come from a place of, you know, and it could be either me or the other person come from that loving space, but I think it takes two to tango, so to speak. And I'm not sure that that's the case, but it would seem to me that way.
This is Sally. It feels that it could really start to get messy if, you know, how much do we really understand the layers of our lifetimes and our karma that's influencing mm-hmm. what we're saying right now? It may have some beginning way somewhere else. And how can we know that in ourselves? How could we then know that in the other person? If you lose the actual relationship and communication between the two on a verbal, or it doesn't have to be verbal, but it has to be like you were just saying, if you're not in the same heart space, then it could get really messy, I would think. I've had one experience with this on an ashram, and it was just a thank you to the Swami for taking care of someone that I knew there. And it was the most naturally occurring thing. I didn't even know that I could do that. I was just kind of stating it mentally, and I could see that he heard that. And it was just a really nice moment, and then it never happened again. And, you know, and that's that. And so I don't really understand if people are trying to get information out of other people like that. That to me is a little bit, I guess there's the trust issue for me. It feels pretty diabolical. Someone would want to, you know, pry into someone else like that without a mutual consent to communicate that way.
Okay. Can you feel the frequency of the group starting to lighten up now, the energy getting brighter?
Yeah.
Now, if you take these this whole conversation just from the mental part and you try to pull it apart, it's not going to work for you. There's something more going on here. Energetically, even though the conversation kind of looks scattered and very mental, there is a shift in the energy happening. And the light starting to come in to gather the circle. So at some point, the conversation must have gotten to much more of an authentic level in order to invite the light in like this. And if you're frustrated, it means you're still at a mental level and trying to work this out just with your mind, and that won't work.
This is Penny. Am I on?
Mm-hmm. You are, Penny.
Oh, okay. I'm feeling right now that we are vibrating for the benefit of all beings.
That's the light that's gathering the circle together, yes.
Yeah. And that's what we've shifted into. Before, I was feeling the thought of moving into consciousness for the benefit of all beings, but it was a thought, it was not an experience. And it shifted me out of doubt. It shifted me out of fear, because what we have right now is the reality of the fifth dimension, of the oneness. And it's knowing telepathically is for the benefit of all beings, then this is where we need to be at.
You make me smile. So the entire time we were having that conversation, there was an infusion of light into the group that was at the level of the, let's say, second and first chakras. And I don't know if you can feel it breaking up in you, kind of that density. But as I watch the group, I can see that that is happening. So this conversation has extra dimensional aspects to it that just demonstrates how much is going on that's outside of the mind's range. Now, can most of you sense the shift in the consciousness of the group now?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Jamie, can you feel it?
Yes.
Jamie, are you still here?
Sorry, muted. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, I feel myself calmer. So that must be the indication for myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. Sense down into your seat and the belly area. This is where the old programs of greed and fear are woven into the energetic system on dimensions that are not so visible. And if you think about it, in any class that you've ever had with me, has there ever been a conversation where I just sat by and people got to talk with each other in one of these classes? It's never really happened. It was great. So as everyone was participating, there was an alchemical element that was going on because of our experience, the spiritual benefit that we've gathered together over time. Buddhists would call it merit, where just being together and engaging in a little bit of inquiry based on a spiritual precept can generate this cleansing. Can you feel how that second chakra area is getting brighter and clearer? Some sense of that?
Yeah, open, very open.
There, the axis just formed and the circle just came into harmony. But there is a lot brewing in that second chakra area, which is classically the center of that young part of us that's in need and attachment. And I knew that we were going to have to deal with this, but I didn't know how it was going to come through. And I'm actually very pleased with the result, even though it may have been a frustrating conversation for people and you're still left with unfinished thoughts in your mind, if we can get beyond that. Because what's unfolding here is a detangling and removal of a very low frequency program that is a planetary program that keeps us at that fight flight, low on the Maslow scale, just constantly satisfying the basic needs, the basic need for security, the basic need to get beyond anxiety, the basic need to get beyond depression, the basic need to get through a day, that driving sense of just getting through that makes that dissociative mind have to pull us through a day. It's very low frequency functioning. Even that idea of the treadmill, of being caught up in these patterns that we don't see a way out of. That's all from this lower chakra, very young need. And as we go more deeply into these teachings that are going to span from telepathic to spiritual to understanding how the finer senses of our being, the capabilities that we have, open us and cultivate a potential that human beings have that is 99% untapped so far, that this program had to be disengaged. And so whatever that conversation did, it gave us access to clearing that through. Let's just sit into feeling the energy, feeling your seat and feet, and letting the light consciousness bless you. So you could say that the frequency that we're going to be working with in this class had to create a cleansing event for us so that we can clearly and work with this without unconscious motives acting upon the learning and the teaching. Now, this is extremely delicate. So last week we talked about in the meditation how that you can take two roads. One that's more high frequency, one that's more self-aggrandizing. Now we can say we want to take the high road, the light road, but we can still have unconscious activity that would skew the teaching. And so we are going through a cleansing tonight so that we can move through with the teachings that are meant to come through to us. Does that make any sense to anyone?
Yes.
Okay. And thank you for patiently going through all that tumult. There we go. I would be surprised if over the next week you do become more aware of some of the unconscious motives that you have in your being, all just for clearing. It's kind of like the final, it finally can evaporate into the air. It's not to beat yourself up with. There is a self-protective aspect to spiritual teachings and certain frequencies that create the conditions to help a person become available to the teachings. And that's what we're going through tonight. So every time you become aware of something that was a little less than pure, I just want you to go, oh, thank God that one's out. thank God. Because I'm seeing this from the teacher's point of view, and I'm watching a group of souls being freed from a program that was dragging you down and frustrating you because your dynamic light couldn't get all the way through. And now what I see is the blessing of that program being disintegrated in the people in this group. And I know if you listen to this recording, none of that's going to add up to where we ended up. But it is. So thank you.
Thank you.
So if you do listen to this recording during the week, don't listen to the words. I don't know if there's going to be a benefit to listening to the recording except for the last 10 minutes of it when the frequencies came through. But just let yourself be relieved of any of that guilt, shame. Guilt and shame in some ways, and this is kind of the last thing that's going to come through, is a way of diverting from getting to the program that we just got to. And this could be hard to explain. Did someone just understand that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Yeah, this was hiding behind that. There we go. That was the last piece that's opening up the last bit of this. There we go. How are we doing now? Because that was quite an event. anything that anyone needs to ask or comment on?
This is Carla. I felt like I was being asked to examine my conscience, you know, like we used to do in the church. And it was so distinct that that was what was being asked of me. And it was such a blessing to get to the end when all that relief just encompassed me. Wonderful. Thank you.
Carlo, do you feel like I was not coming from that place of how the church would ask you to do that? Can you discern the difference?
I was just reminded of that when we were going through it. I'm not sure I latched onto it.
Because the way you expressed it, it sounded like you had, that you were doing it the same way as if you had.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I just want to...
It reminded me of that. That was not... Sorry.
And what was the difference?
I went through an awful lot of stages. It was like painful. It was vulnerability. It was the lack of trust. It was all that business. And then it just settled. It finally settled. And I think I can actually understand a little more why transparency is so important instead of something that can be problematic for me. You know,
beautifully said. Yeah. Okay, thank you. That really shifted what you said. Really illuminated what you said versus what you first said, because I could feel the group thinking, oh my God, she just had this overlay of the church on this. And yeah,
I'm sorry. Yeah.
You don't have to be sorry. I mean, once we understood. So I wanted to bring that forward. Okay, good. Okay. Anything else? Okay, so interesting evening, and I am sure you will see some very dynamic changes in your being this week, and we are moving forward now. So God bless and have a beautiful week.